Blog Talk Radio.
This is Suzanne Northrup at Block Talk Talk Radio, and welcome to a wonderful December 7th, as we would say, the first Monday in December, which I like to remind people that is when I do the shows. And like I said, I had to cut that back only because of my schedule being all over the place, and it made it much easier for me. But as you know, I always bring special guests at that time, as well as we'll do absolutely sessions for after the first part of the hour, and we'll go from there. We are in December, and I'm sure most of you probably not to survive, but are sort of like in the, whatever they call it, the shape myth of Thanksgiving, where it was really, really quite wonderful, and you connected with friends and family and all of the above. What's actually quite nice about Thanksgiving, it is really quite literally a holiday for Thanksgiving. So as we move in December, it has a little bit of different feel for many people, and with that always comes a sense of just, sometimes a little anxiety, sometimes things connected with our loved ones and all of that kind of feelings and emotions that arise at the month of December. So I have actually a quite wonderful, wonderful guest tonight, which is going to be really perfect because it's going to talk about not only my favorite thing, but what I have done for a very long time and connecting with all of your loved ones that have made their transition into the sort of spirit world. And I thought that this was a perfect way to bring in December because I know December is a month where a lot of people are going through their emotions, their grief stage, all the stages that ones we go through when we start to think about those loved ones that have made their transition into the spirit world. And it is quite literally a transition, a difficult one often for us, but it is a transition to what we call our next stage of life. So I kind of thought this would be a perfect, perfect time. Before I bring him on, I've actually had one of his co-producers, on my show a little while ago when she did a movie of this type. But he's done a lot of documentaries, and he's part of what we call the Sacred Mystery Tours or documentaries of different forms of what they do, and you can certainly check him out and of all his stuff that they're doing. But you would check out like the Sacred Mysteries Productions, and we'll get into more detail. But my guest is Jay Winder, and he is the president of Sacred Mystery Productions, and he has done a lot of some wonderful stuff. This particular DVD special series that I want to talk about is all about Journey Beyond Death. And there's some wonderful, wonderful people in there, and there's some fabulous stuff. And I would say that any of you that are going through any of the changes of the emotions, of the grief states, all that we are, during this time of the year, this would be a phenomenal DVD for you to watch because it would not only let you know that your loved ones are only a breath or a step away, but which is obviously what all my work's about, but it will also let you really, really kind of like get in the center of what I would call that truth. So it's a wonderful DVD, and like I said, I recommend it highly, and I recommend Jay's work because he does a lot of stuff in relationship to this and a lot of other things between yoga and quantum astrology and a lot of alchemy of Qigong, a lot of things that are actually quite interesting. He is in the Seattle area where I just left, and he used to be the public director of KCMU-FM Seattle. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Great. It's great to have you.
Yeah.
So, You're with me, you're preaching to the choir, but you know, it's something that that I always feel is such a wonderful way to show different. You know, I like to share with my listeners all the different facets and all the works that a lot of people do. And I know you did this with Alberto, who I've had on my show before too. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guy. And besides, certainly a knowledgeable spiritual leader, his path and wisdom was really, I thought. And I also knew he was part of the producer, I think, of this particular documentary, but he really added what I would call a really special feel for it. So I want to ask you this because I want you to share this with my listeners who this is very, very important in general, but I think at this time of the year, because I always sort of share with people that the two times of the year that the phone in the office goes off the hook, even though there's no one there, is Christmas time and Mother's Day. So that into itself is a major message, I want to sort of say.
Yeah.
So why did you decide to do this particular part of your New Millennium DVDs?
Well, a deep and dark December, actually about 7 years ago when I decided. My mother had just passed, and I was considered myself. Yeah, I'd written books and made films and given lectures at major metaphysical centers and thought I was a fairly seasoned metaphysical person. And here I was confronted with... here I was confronted with... You know, the closest person besides my wife to me, and I didn't know what to say. And she was completely full of fear, and she had been, you know, she was a Catholic, a devout Catholic, and she had done things maybe not perfect in her life. No one does, and
no
I think she was extremely fearful of what was coming down the pike, even though. Whatever the worst she could have possibly done is nothing compared to people that are in prison and things. So, she.
You understand when you're a Catholic, because if they have Jay, that doesn't much.
Exactly, and so I couldn't do anything. I felt helpless, and so I was having dinner. It was December, about a month after she died, right around Christmas, and I was having dinner with Alberto Violdo, and I was telling him about my helplessness. And he was telling me about his helplessness with his brother who had died. And we said right there on the spot, we said, we need to make a film that removes the fear, but also celebrates it as the event and shows people that it's a great moment. And that was a long time ago, and this was the longest film it's ever taken me to make. And it went on. I had several cuts. It went from very clinical to less and less clinical as I kept shooting and shooting. I kept finding more and more interesting stories which seemed to correlate with each other. And so by the time I got down to the end, it changed from a rather clinical view, scientific maybe even view of life after death, to a kind of, I think, a raucous visual almost initiatory experience using sight and sound to help you understand not only intellectually but feeling wise what it is. And I think that the film Infinity, The Ultimate Trip, is at least up to this point the best evocation of this experience. And it's not an experience of life after death. It's an experience of infinity, and much more important delineation of thought there. We're not saying that we're telling you what's going to happen when you die, because there's a multiplicity of things that can occur to you when you die.
Exactly, right.
But what we're saying is that you are an infinite creature, and you need to understand that. You need to celebrate it, and once you accomplish that little tiny goal, your fear of death will disappear. In fact, you may even welcome it in some cases.
Well, I think, what you said, two things there are really cool. Number one is, I don't think there's any coincidence we're doing this show in December. No coincidence we're doing this show on December the 7th, is what we know was like the big Pearl Harbor Day.
That's right.
So that's kind of like a whole day about death, which is really kind of interesting. But One of the people that you have on your show, whom I, you know, I love his work, and I've also had on my show, is Greg Braden. And I think what's interesting about him and Alberto is they both kind of like came from the science base, from what I understand, and they, you know, kind of like have embraced the science level to knowing that science has been very new. About you know what we know that the indigenous cultures have done for many years. I mean, I know that obviously in terms of my work, they you know they love me because of you know just because I that's what I do and that's who I am. So it was kind of interesting for me to come from the background of the medium to now coming into a time in my life where people you know used to run away from me, but now. All these scientists, you know, would love to be on my show, want to be part of my show, because it's sort of like on the full circle thing. So it's been kind of a really interesting journey for me through this process. But, you know, I'm glad that you said what happens is that when people have their own personal experience about death, because it's going to obviously affect all of us besides personally, you know, people that we know, it becomes a whole other ballgame. And when I did my scientific studies with Dr. Gary Schwartz, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
He got brought on board because his wife's father died. And so it was like, yeah, okay. And people say, well, why would I want your service? And I go, well, can't imagine why one would want services to connect with loved ones that have passed over. So it sounds like that's kind of like what happened to you in your journey as well.
Well, it did. And you know, it's fascinating because I had exactly the same kind of U-turn that you've had in your life. I haven't really changed much that I've been saying now for 30, 35 years. I used to get invited out of parties. Now I actually get invited to parties. And, you know, they say, sir, can you leave now? You're scaring everyone.
Right.
Because back then, these things scared everybody. And,
and
you and I both know that there's actually nothing scary at all about it, except that it's a new concept. And once you get past that, and then it actually fits as comfortable as an old pair of jeans. I mean, I love it. And I don't know how I could ever have lived without my view of spirituality and life and death and infinity that I have now. And I can't imagine people walking around terrified of everything and their own death. And once we get past that, I think, you know, I think that the change will be, and I mean this in the full sense of the word, revolutionary. And I think once we shake our fear of death, no one can control us. And when no one can control us, you better watch out because a new renaissance is going to happen. And I think that's actually the ulterior motive for the film, except for my mother dying and trying to help people with passing. It was to try to instill a sense of courage that we can change the world and we can do it courageously once we remove this obstacle, this fear.
Well, you know, doing what I've done for over 30 years, and interesting enough, just sort of a side point is that mediums have been around for a very long time, and we all, as we all know, for the turn of the century, they were huge, and you know, in England and all over. So because people have always had that fascination, not only with just death, but they hold on into the process. And we also know with indigenous cultures, very much the Hispanic cultures and the Peruvian mountains and all this, there was always an honoring of that process of transition. So it was certainly something that was not, as we well know, you know, very adverse in the Western culture, which was very natural in sort of like the Eastern culture. But for me, you know, doing this at a time when, number one, no one was really doing it, certainly doing it publicly on major, you know, radio and television and all that other kind of, you know, medium, so to speak, but to watch that kind of progression and watch people that, you know, come to my events and they're so, you see they come in there with this grief and they leave with this sense, oh my God, you know, I talked to my mother that died 25 years ago or that was my son who's no longer dead. You are right, it is transforming, and I am with you very much on the page where that when you confront, for most people, your greatest fears, then you see nothing beyond that.
Yeah, I use that as my template actually now in my life. If I come across an idea or I meet someone or I see something and it causes me to shudder or to react in a fearful way, I now go towards that. I now go towards that person. I now read that book that scared me. I want to know about it. I want to know why I'm scared of it. And in that, I feel that I do that as a practice now, an intellectual and spiritual practice, and I can feel all of the fear of everything vanishing, because everything, basically all I was afraid of is that which I do not know. And you know, it's so interesting. You're talking about the way the East and other and Indians and Native American and others look at death as opposed to how we do it. And I'm reminded of the story of the first white settlers in Australia who, when they met the Aboriginal children, the Aboriginal children could name all of their ancestors on both sides going back hundreds of generations. They remembered all of their names. You see, and this is something we've lost. It's a continuity. Yes. It's a connection with who you came, where you came from, and where you're going. And it's all part of this infinite course, which I think is now returning thanks to work like this radio show and things. And I think that people who, when you know, if you're up against someone who is resistant to your ideas about the infinite nature of being and life after death, I highly recommend you buy this film for him and just leave it with him. It's a $20 investment. Give it to him. Walk away. Hope and pray they watch it. And I have a feeling it might have an effect on him.
I think it's done honestly, you know, in kind of a non-threatening way, and also because we have a very short fuse, you know, society. Not everybody can read books, and I'm always amazed that people read my books, and they do. I'm always fascinated by that particular process in it. But I also think, you know, again, is that what is important is that if you can in any way balance out or give anybody kind of like this sense that it is a birth. I mean, it is literally a birth, you know. The body is just like a car. You know, it gets old, it gets beat up, and whatever it is, and you know, and you can when you leave it, you leave it. Or, you know, when it's time to come around again, you go and get a new one. But one of the things that you said that is so true, and I always like to share that in my work, is that, you know, I tell people that, you know, these incredible grandmothers that I had in my life, their blood runs through my veins.
Oh, yeah.
And their blood's run through my vein. And that is part of who I am. And I chose that to be part of who I am. And
that's
they
right.
were tough. Tough women, and if I ever question, you know, where I need to pull some strength from, I just let one sit on one side of me and one sit on the other, and I just pull from that. And I think it's so important, because everybody's had somebody in their family like that. Because we come from this country was based on people that came here without anything, without nothing, almost from whether it was the founders from, you know, from those immigrants, and everybody that's in this country has that.
Yeah, we're all wanderers. That's an interesting thing about America and why it's such an unusual country. You know, once you outside of the slave population who were taken here against their will, and the Native Americans who were living here already, everybody else in this country is a wandering spirit, a wandering soul. Or they're the children or grandchildren of a wandering soul. And and I think that that's what gives America its kind of special destiny. It's not that we're anything special in any way. It's just that by circumstance, the most curious, the most seeking of people came here. And they're here, and this is where, I think it was Leonard Cohen said, this is where it's all going to start, you know, in the USA, and he's right. It's going to start here. It's the land of the broken, and
well, and it's the land of the world. I mean, the world has come here. It's not just one country. It is the world, and it is, you know, I don't like to use melting pot, but it is. But there's something beautiful about all of that. That, you know, whatever it is. It's like, you know, when I tell people, you know, I live in New York City. There's 8 million people here, and 8 million people from all parts of the world. I mean, there's schools with, you know, 300 different dialects, and you know what? Somehow, we all manage to get along. I mean, you know, we all have our moments, but somehow we all manage to get along. I think that's like pretty amazing.
It's astonishing, actually. It's
really
the first
time. It
really
is astonishing.
It is. It's the first time in history this has ever happened, and it's really a tremendous responsibility on all of us, just talking from a political level, to hold that together through the economic stress that we're all going through. And, you know, America is going, every 85 years, the United States goes through a tremendous upheaval. The first one was the Revolutionary War, 85 years later was the Civil War, 85 years later was the Great Depression, World War II, and here we are at the very beginning of the next 85-year cycle, which corresponds exactly to the orbit of Uranus. And we are now at the cusp of what is called the fourth turning. The greatest change in history of the United States is upon us. And this is predicted by historians in the late 90s who wrote the book, The Fourth Turning. And it is here, and it is both in some ways a horrible time to be alive, because there's going to be so much upheaval. But at the same time, if you're someone like you or I, or maybe in the listening audience, this is a tremendous time to like reshape everything that's going on, because everything is being called into question. And that's why I started Sacred Mysteries with my wife Sharon, because we were like, this is our time. We can take the tools that this civilization has created, and we can use those tools to help teach these ancient concepts, to allow people to have the tools to spiritually survive the coming upheaval. And it is upon us now. It was coming, but now the upheaval has started.
It is here in a big way.
In a big way.
That's
the understatement.
That's the understatement of the years. I want to talk a little bit more about what you just talked about here. We're going to take a break. This is my special guest, Jay. Is it Widener? It is
Widener.
Widener, thank you. And, you know, first of all, you can find out all about, you know, his work, this DVD. Go to sacredmysteries.com. It's one word, sacredmysteries.com, and you'll get a whole sense of this journey into depth. And I think it's done really well. And I've seen a couple of the other DVDs, and this one is really off the charts with it. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it. But I want to know, because I think that some of the stuff you're talking about came out in the book. It was either the Urantia book or something, the Uranian book, because we all know that Uranus is about, like,
that's right.
About the electrical stuff.
That's right.
off the charts though, when it comes. So we're going to take a quick break. This is Suzanne Northrup with Block Tech Talk Radio with my special guest, Jay Widener. The book, the DVD is called Infinity, The Ultimate Trip, and we all know it is the ultimate trip. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back in a moment. Thank you. This is Suzanne Northrup at Blog Talk Radio with my special guest, John Wellner, and it's definitely called Infinity, The Ultimate Trip, a film by Jay Widener. And, of course, he started this production company with his wife, Sharon Rose, several years ago, and I've had Sharon on the show as well. One of the things that you were saying, Jay, I think this is interesting because I know about the cyclical stuff, but this is the first time I heard about the 85-year one, which obviously comes up to a 14 number. But anyway,
right.
So the last time was obviously must have been 1929.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. If you watch, I'm a film freak. I love movies. And
mm-hmm.
I'd never seen Gone with the Wind, but I knew that it was the biggest hit of all time until Jaws, right? And
yes.
My wife, of course, loved it, and she said, oh, well, let's watch it. This is a few months ago. And we had a big screen TV, and I wanted to see it on the big screen, and so we got it on Blu-ray, and we turned it on, we started watching it. And first off, I was struck by the fact that, A, it really wasn't a very good movie, but two,
was
very interesting about it is that this was the best-selling book of the 30s in the United States. And it was about the 85-year period earlier than that, which was the Civil War. So it was a third-turning view of the second turning, which was the Civil War, the third turning being the Great Depression.
Hmm.
And watching it, I was struck because it was all about this elegant lifestyle that the poor Irish were living in the South, of course, all supported completely by slavery, unsaid in the movie,
right.
And it was being torn out from under them, and what a tragedy it was, right? Basically, that's the
mm-hmm.
movie. And, mm-hmm. and, of course, these were the poor people from the Depression reading this book and seeing this movie kind of going through the same thing, and so I'm going to make a prediction that we're going to have a big, huge, best-selling book or movie coming out soon about someone going through the Great Depression, only seen through the eyes of someone today. And it'll be something like that. And so what we're going through right now is what is called the fourth turning, which is the mama of all of them. This is where all the other turnings twist one more time on themselves in one grand tourney. So we're going to see a revolution, we're going to see a civil war, and we're going to see a Great Depression all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we're seeing it. And it's going to be convulsive, all-consuming. It's going to be the most spectacular story ever seen on Earth up to this point historically. And we're actually, you know, the front waves have crested. This is not, it used to be, I used to say, well, it was coming, but no longer. It's here. And
it is here. Yes.
And it's up to people like us, to be honest with you, to step forward now and try to give some spiritual guidance to this thing, because it's going to be quite rough. And and I guess that's what I've taken on my shoulders in the short term, and this is why I made the film Infinity, The Ultimate Trip, was because there's going to be, frankly, a lot of people dying here. And we have to learn how to transit through this thing. And, you know, it's not just our parents, but, you know, there's a lot at stake here. And we
a lot of young people passing.
That's exactly right, and I'm
in my work. I've experienced a lot of young people passing, and I don't want to say
they
all
are. It's frightening,
but it is a much higher percentage of boys than girls.
Wow, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I'm watching the same data streams, and I'm really frightened for young men right now. I don't quite understand what they're going through, but I wish there was just something I could do for them, because they are in a world of hurt.
You know, it's wonderful that you asked that. I think what you can do for them is that I think that this is probably a time, and you know, and this is just, again, in relationship to my work, is that it's probably, first of all, you know, I mean, being a guy, I can talk to you about this, is that, you know, when men get stripped of the thing that's the most significant in terms of, you know, who they are, their identity, it's much harder for them to bounce back, because they, unless they're raised with the tools that that it's okay to be emotional. It's okay to experience those things. They don't have the tools when they get to a certain age in their life in terms of feeling strong about who they are.
No, I don't think any of them know who they are anymore.
Right. And but see, with girls, you see, the thing is, regardless of how successful you are, even in this day and age, you can be a good wife. You can be a good mother.
That's right.
So you're going to have some kind of a sense of yourself, your identity. Because, you know,
that's
if
right.
you don't have that,
good point.
It's very hard to go forth from life. Exactly. So
yeah.
younger men are having a hard time with that, unless they've got fathers that teach them that. And not just mothers. I think it has to really come, you know, down
from
the line
from the
fathers. Men, from
I
the
do
fathers,
too.
Exactly.
Well,
and
I'm a great believer in male initiation. Of course, I don't think we can do it right now. It'd probably be outlawed. But where, you know, I mean, I'm serious. Where a group of guys take the guy, he would be post-pubescent boy, and take him out and teach him straight on about death. That is really what male initiation is. It's teaching.
What about, yes.
Young men will dance with death all the way till their death, unless they are taught to dance with death in an initiatory way. And so you're going to have crazy people that play chicken and shoot guns and take too many drugs and get in armies and kill each other until we learn to control male energy in a way that is helpful, healthy, and spiritually based, we're going to be in a world of hurt in this world, and we're going to have a lot of rambunctious male energy bouncing off the landscape, wrecking the place. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, what the Aborigines in Australia would do is they would take the male out and he would have to sit in a circle of stones. And it would all be males that are not related to him, older males, and he could not leave that circle of stones for 4 days, and they wouldn't feed him, and they would give him, you know, he would literally go into an altered state, and they would scare him, literally scare him, and he'd be so dang glad to get back to that tribe in one piece that he never tested death again. And this is what we're facing right now, is these young men think that the only way they can prove their manhood is to continuously test death. And that's all fine and dandy. Go do it. Snowboard down a mountainside. You know, all power to you. But
don't do it in the other way.
Just don't kill anybody.
I think that's obviously that was so, you know, the indigenous cultures, the Native American. I mean, that was extremely key. But, you know.
It was.
I just recently, you know, did an event in Connecticut, and it was really interesting because there was a young man there that was with his mom, and I don't know where his dad was, but he had lost, I think, his sister or his brother, and he must have been maybe all, and by the way, I will say quite wonderfully, a lot more young men are attending my events, and I know that that's a big, big change and a big deal.
That is, that's
and
good.
And they come and they just love it. I mean, and you know, we really, really connect. But anyway, he was sitting there, and I had gotten this extremely strong message. There was just something that was going on with him, and I just basically went up to him and I said, you know, what's wrong? You know, what's going on? Why do you have to be in this state? I said, you know, you got a mom who loves you, and I said, yes, I know you lost somebody. I said, but you can be so important and imperative in their life right now. And he sat there with the tears rolling down his face. Because it was almost like he just needed somebody that maybe didn't know him within the family, or that was connected to his, you know, his dead brother, to let him know that it was really okay, that it was really okay.
And I mean, nobody even tells him. The problem is, of course, we're living in a world where a lot of them don't have fathers, and it's good to see your. I had a father, and it was good to see my father in a vulnerable state when I was young, when his mother died, to watch him turn into a blubbering idiot in front of me, because I always thought he was this guy that could never cry, that nothing could ever affect him. And when I saw that, I realized he was a human. And I think if you grow up without a father, sometimes you think you have a perverted view of what a man is. And I don't mean that in a sexual way. I mean that he's either this big, huge, masculine Arnold Schwarzenegger type, or a Pee Wee Herman little wimpy. And men aren't that. Men are all in between, and
they're all
very,
that. Yes.
Yeah, and we're completely fallible, and and terrified for the most part.
So the bottom line is that, you know, any time, you know, and there's certainly there's a lot more men now that are definitely, you know, opening up that spiritual door. My suggestion to them is that whenever you see, you know, a young man or, you know, a young girl, whatever, whoever it is, that you feel like you can make that little thing, which is actually the big thing, affect their lives, then, you know what, if you want to talk about responsibility, that is all responsibility, because we really all are a community. We really are all a village. And,
that's right. Take that moment.
And you may think you can walk away from that and you're not affected, but you're really wrong, because
you are affected.
Yes, yeah, and we are all connected to that same sort of like energy. So I'm with you, and I think that sometimes, unfortunately, humans have to go through severe things before they sort of like come around.
Say something about that. I was talking about male initiations and how we don't have them. Well, I tell you what's going on here. Because we have eschewed initiatory practices in our world, in the West, especially in Europe and America, guess what I think is going on? I think the fourth turning is our initiation, because you can't escape it. You can run, but you can't hide. And I think this is going to be a societal initiation where we are going to face all of our fears, all crammed into one little tiny quadrant of time, and we're going to come out the other end, and we're going to be much wiser and very, very glad to still be here.
I do too. And with that, I want to say, you know, and I know it's certainly serious here in the Northeast, and I think it's out where you are also. There is a large movement of definitely getting back, working that earth, working your rear end off, you know,
That's right. And
really being the pioneers. And these young people are doing it. I mean,
they are.
They're the ones that are saying, this is going to affect me growing up. You know, you throwing that plastic away, this is going to affect me growing up. You wearing these clothes that you don't need to wear when there's all these other clothes that are natural. There's a big movement among the young people, and they will be the ones that will do it. And they're the ones that always do it. So, you know, I welcome them, because they're the ones that are coming up with the ideas. It's not, you know, it's not the older folks. They're the ones that are, I mean, the older folks are coming up with certain things, but it's the younger ones that are going to actually put it into practice. And I think
I think it's up to us to be. We need to be the elders that we did not have, and you know, that's our role. We're not supposed to get in there and monkey up the works. We're to get in there and just offer advice, because we don't have the energy. And you're right. I'm building a permaculture garden in my backyard, and I'm using a 27-year-old kid who has it down to a science. And
yeah,
I mean, it's unbelievable. And this is going on everywhere. These guys have thought it out, and you're right. I call it future shift. That's what's going on here. It's a complete new rendition of everything. It's going to be revolutionary. We're going to go back to the land. We're going to be growing our own food. We're going to be meditating, singing, playing, and working together as a community. And it's going to be 1,000 little small communities everywhere. And we're going to be interconnected, so it's not like we're going to be isolated. We have the internet; it doesn't have to go away. And
oh God, no! If anything, it makes us, the world very, very small on all different levels.
And this transition is going to be marvelous, but it's not going to be easy. I don't want anybody to be fooled, but I think, honestly, to all those who are listening, I would start now. I would not wait any longer. I would begin looking for land. I would begin paying off your debts. I would begin buying the right kinds of books that you're going to need for this kind of new world. You're going to need to have seeds. You're just going to need to start taking care of business, because it's going to get very serious. Nothing can stop what's about to happen, but what is about to happen can be altered in a positive way by us. And that's all we can hope at this stage of the game, is we know the wave is coming. Can we, you know, ride that wave on a surfboard and get a good ride out of it? Or are we going to let the wave slap down on top of us? And I say, let's ride it, you know. Let's take a positive view of this. Let's create an alternative culture that is viable, sustainable, and desired by everybody once they see it. So we have to live by example, and it's going to take a Gandhi-esque almost revolution to affect this thing. And I don't really think there's anything that can stop it. So I don't think they're going to try and stop it. I think they're just going to throw their hands up in the air and say, okay, well, everyone's just going to have to do what they need to do to get through this. And then
figure
a certain, liberation will happen. And that's when you and I and people like us can get in, because the door will be open just a creak enough for us to get in with these wild spiritual ideas that can actually cement that future world into a cohesion that this world does not have.
Right. Well, I will say this, and I think you probably experienced this all, and I've been saying this all along, and I've been saying it at every event that I have. I says, I just want you to know that, you know, and I know it's like a fearful stage, and try to get away from it, but I want to tell you that there are businesses that are rising out of people that lost their jobs, and they're saying, well, I have nothing else to go for. I'm going to do what I love. And with that, there's been all these unbelievably wonderful businesses that are, that have come out of it. So, you know what, we are an innovative world, and I have total faith that we will come through it. And those that take that on and do it, then, you know, they're going to be the ones that are going to be part of the change. If you're in the fear and not feeling that there's things you have control about, then that's what you're going to be. And I totally believe that will be the case.
I agree. I see it happening. I think it's wonderful. All sorts of innovation is going on. The human mind actually needed to be free of the constructs of that previous world. It was hindering us. It was stopping us. It was freezing us in the moment, and now everybody says, oh, it used to be you could plan 10 years ahead, it used to be you could plan 5 years ahead, now you can't even plan a year ahead. Isn't it terrible?
Yeah.
I go, no, it isn't terrible. That's a good thing. That means you have to stay on top of it.
Yeah, because when we learn about being in the now, then we learn to live in the now.
Exactly.
and that's
the greatest thing.
Death in itself, Jay.
Yeah. So I'm actually very optimistic about what's going on. And, you know, I do see, I'm not going to be Pollyanna-ish and say that it's not going to be really rough and tumble. It is. But, at the other end, I see something that has never, ever occurred. I can't really even quite describe it or tell you what it is. I just know it's there. It's like in the year 2020, I may not even be here, but I can see that there's this different way of looking at the world that's starting right now. And it's been going since the 60s, but it's really starting to take effect right now. And I just, you know, I hope I get to see it. If not, at least, you know, I help do whatever it is
well,
I can do.
Well, you'll see it from the beyond then, Jay.
I will, exactly.
The DVD is called Infinity, The Ultimate Trip. Part of the Sacred Mystery series, and you can always check it out, sacredmysteries.com. The film is by Jay Widner, and he's got a few other ones that are connected to and with Sharon Rose. This has been wonderful. This has been great. I think this is a perfect way to start our December holidays with a lot of, you know, energy of just knowing that those folks are around us and that there is definitely a journey beyond it. This has been great having you on the show, Jay.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, and we'll take another quick break, and we will do readings for the rest of the evening. Again, this is a wonderful DVD. Check out his series, sacredmystery.com, and see what other things he has in line. And we'll be coming back, and we will be connecting with your loved ones that have passed over. This is Ann Northrup at Blog Talk Talk Radio. Before we open up the phone lines, I just want to remind everybody again that the holiday season is above us, and it is always it doesn't cost anything to send somebody a hug, give them a phone call, help somebody across the street with the groceries. That is all the energy that we're talking about here that is not only needed, but this is how we all make a difference. And because of my travels, I know a lot of times I don't get to certain necks of the woods and towns that I would like to, although you know I go anywhere because I was just in Roanoke, Virginia. But because of that, I've just started doing what I call teleseances. And all this stuff is, of course, on my website. You can sort of like check it out. You can be in your own home wherever you are. And it's a limited amount of people that we do it. So I'm going to start doing that with my very innovative, I would say, assistant who is always figuring up ways that for me to connect with all the people that want to connect me all over the country. And one other reminder, I will be in Baltimore this weekend. Saturday will be a two-hour lecture, and then Sunday will be a workshop. So it's a two-day event. You can do one or both or anyone, and hope to see some of you folks that I haven't seen in a while. And then real quick here, I'm also going to be in Florida of January and California of January of this year. So all that stuff is always on my webpage, and I always encourage people to sign up for my free newsletter, and I always will come to you and let you know exactly where I'm at here. So I want to connect with my producer, Kira. I want to know, we have somebody on the line there, Kira?
We do. We have a patiently waiting caller since before the show began.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Caller, are you on the air?
I'm on.
Go ahead with Suzanne.
Hey. Hi, my name is Kim. I've been waiting to get through to you for a while because I had a loss not that long ago, and I'm just having a hard time dealing with it.
Okay. So just give me some hints so I can make sure this is who you want to connect with. Is this somebody that was really close to you, Kim?
Yes, very close.
Okay. Was this a male vibration by chance?
No.
Female?
Female.
It's not your mom, is it?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's interesting because she comes with a male vibration. Now, I want to ask you this here, Kim. Does that mean your dad's also passed?
No.
He's still here. Okay.
Yes.
Then I have to ask you, she's either lost her brother, unless it's her father, because she definitely comes with a male vibration.
Well, she lost her father, quite a few years ago, and also a brother-in-law, my father's brother.
Got it. So it's the brother of your father that's coming with your mom. Got it. Okay. I never know how they're going to come through here together, but she's definitely in shining armor. But I'm going to tell you this about your mom, Kim. I have to tell you, she's not like a loud, pushy person. She comes as quite a strong, dignified lady who, you know, just wants you to know here, but she comes in with dignity. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so that's very, very much her personality, and it's definitely the way that she lets me know that she's coming through here. Now, two things. I'm gonna assume from the way that she's coming through here, Kim, that she must have been ill because she's telling me you were right there by her side through this whole process.
Yes, I was.
Yes, and I will tell you, this is probably not a lot of fun because she was a very, very dignified woman, and my guessing is it looks like she must have had some kind of deteriorated illness because it feels like that's what happened to her up toward the end of her life.
Yeah, Okay.
Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand.
Yes. Now, I want to ask this question. Were you with your mama when she actually passed, Kim?
Yes.
Okay, because I'll tell you why. I don't know if you were gone and you came back, but she said specifically, very loud and very clear, she said she waited for you.
She probably did.
Yeah, I mean, she said very much she waited for you, and I'm going to say she did this because not so much for her need, but for your need.
Okay.
And I tell people they always take their cues from us. So if she knew you needed to be there, and that doesn't always happen, I have to tell you, if she knew you needed to be there, she definitely stuck around for you to be there during this time.
Okay.
And it was almost took. It was as strange as it might sound. It was her gift to you. Because of her connection for you and for you needing to know that you were there for your mom. Because if you were not, my guessing is this would have been even more difficult on you because, as it was, you still felt like you didn't do enough.
Of course. Never enough.
And honestly, that's something that we all go through. No matter how much we did, we feel like we never did enough. and because your mom was such a, you picked a good one, I'll tell you that. You picked a warm, caring woman, and the more stronger and the more connected they are to us, sometimes that those passings are even more difficult.
Yes.
But I want you to know that she's assuring you that you were there for her. She thanks you for being there. She knows it was very, very tough, but she made sure she was there when she made her transition for you.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you one other quick thing here. Are you keeping an eye on your daddy?
Yes, I am, but I'm not as close as my other sisters.
Okay, good.
Physically.
Because I'll tell you what, your mom does insist that he's being taken care of, so I took that to be quite literal.
Oh, no, he's my one sister's with him all the time.
Okay, great. Because she said to me, the way your mom showed it to me is that you and her were the closer ones,
yes,
and your sister and your other dad were the other closer ones.
Yes.
So, you know, I feel like it's really, really good because he's aware that you're there, but it's really good that your other sister's there because he's definitely needed this connection with your mom because your mom was very much the center in the family.
Yes, she was.
Yes, very much the center in the family. And when we lose our center in the family, it's very, very tough for us to regain our center.
Yes.
But I'm going to sort of say this to you in just sort of a continuum of one of the things that I shared about on the show is that you are your mother's daughter, Kim.
Yes.
You got to know that.
Yeah.
You are your mom's daughter. And with that, I want you to keep that in mind in terms of that she does run through your veins. You are her strength. And what she would want you to do is to continue your life as best as possible, knowing that she's there, knowing that she checks in with you as she can. I know this time of the year is really, really hard. I know this time of the year was important for you and her family, but I want you to know that she's there, and she wants you to know that.
Okay, thank you.
You're really, really welcome. And you have a great holiday, Kim, and I'm glad you got through.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. I think we got time. At least let's see if we can get two more in here. Who else do we have on the line, Kara?
Okay, we have a caller from 813 area code.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi. Hello. My name is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. How are you doing tonight?
Great. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You enjoying the show?
I love the show. And actually, I think it was meant to be that I listened tonight. You were talking about young people
mm-hmm.
passing away, and that's actually who somebody that I wanted to hear from is one of my really dear friends. She just passed away about a year ago. She
okay.
was very young. This is our first Christmas without her. So.
Wow, okay. Well, you know something? It will not be your first Christmas without her because she's going to be around you. How's that, Debbie?
Yes.
Yeah, she's definitely going to show up and let you know she's there because she's quite spicy.
Yes.
This is quite a spicy young lady. This is not somebody who's like Dell. I mean, you knew when she walked into the room because she's got a lot of energy and light around her.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yes. Now, from what I'm gathering from her, this must have been a fast passing.
Yes. Very fast.
Yeah, because I feel like whatever the deal was, we were not here very long through it.
No.
I mean, I feel like we were here, and then we were not here.
Exactly.
Do you understand? Yes. Now,
yes.
Two things with her. I want to sort of say this. To be honest with you, I don't know if this is her dog or your dog, but she comes with a doggy, so she wants you to know that they're together. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and really, really importantly. And also, I, from what I'm gathering, she must have packed in a lot of her life while she was here, because I'm getting I'm getting quite literally and quite strangely, maybe it might seem, she seems to know she was going to live a short life.
Yeah. I think so. She lived she lived a very full life.
I felt like for whatever her years were here on Earth, she definitely packed it in.
Yeah.
She definitely packed it in. And I find, you know, over and over again, when people are of a younger age and all of a sudden, you know, you feel like they're living three lives all at the same time, there's always a message in that.
Yes.
There's always a message in that. Now, she tells me, first of all, she says you two are very connected, number one.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she also says she's literally had visitations to you since she's passed.
Yes. Yeah. I do get dreams. I just never know was that her? I wake up and I say, was that her? Was it not? I'm never sure.
I'll tell you it is her, yes. And don't ever doubt it.
Okay.
All right? Don't ever doubt it. Now, I'm going to also ask you this. I don't know who she's making reference to, Debbie, but there's another younger male that comes with her. So she must have either lost a friend or somebody else connected to somebody else you knew that must have lost a son or something. But she definitely comes with what I would call a younger male of her peer.
Wow. I don't know who that would be. Okay. Yeah, I will.
All right, think about it. Because sometimes, you know, I tell people to think out of the box. It may not be somebody that might have been a best friend, but I'm gathering that either you knew the person's, this younger male that's connected to them, or it was somebody that she knew a while.
Okay.
All right. And I would have said it was also a fast passing.
Yes. Okay. And when I talk to her all the time, does she hear me?
Does she hear you? Yes. Yes. There's no separation in love.
Okay.
Not even physical death.
Okay.
So, yes,
they tell her all the time how much I love her. So I just hope that she hears me.
She most definitely hears you. There's no separation in love, not even death.
Okay.
All right, Debbie?
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Had a great holiday, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Hey. Let's see, Kira. Do we have anybody else on the line there?
The switchboard is full, but you have about 2 minutes left.
Okay. You know, let's try to we get one more in quick.
Okay.
You
we'll
choose.
Take 917 area code. Are you there?
Okay.
Yes, hi, thank you.
You're welcome. Hello. You're the last one you got in quick.
Yes, hi. I just want to ask you a question. I'm trying really hard to graduate and be fully employed in a faculty position by August, which means next year, because that's when it starts the school. I was just wondering, do you see that happening?
You know what? This is not my area, honey. I reserve myself to connect with people that have passed over.
Oh, I see. Right? That's okay.
So,
all right.
I'll give you the blessing and best to you.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
You're welcome. Kara, let's try one more time here.
Okay, we have area code 727. Are you on the
okay.
air?
I'm here.
Hello.
Yes, hi, my name is Beth.
Yes, Beth.
Yeah, I wanted to know if you have any messages for me from the other side.
Okay, we're going to be cut off. But I want to tell you this one thing. There's a woman that's connected to you. I want to say she's your mama's mama on that side, and she's coming through quite strong, Beth.
Okay.
All right. And she just says you were very, very connected. She wants to give you her love, and she says give a hug to mama for the holidays.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to have to let you go because they're going to cut me off.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Beth. Have a wonderful holiday, all right?
Happy holidays.
Thank you. This hour went by quick, but just a reminder, I will be here on the first Monday of January of next year, and we're going to have a wonderful, what I like to try to do is start off you years have either an astrologer or a numerologist, just people get like sort of a flavor of the year that's sort of like that's going to be coming in, so there'll be lots of calls coming. Just real quick again, go to my webpage, check out, I'm doing the teleseance, I'm going to be in Baltimore, I'm going to be in Florida and California, all that within the next, month. And certainly California and Florida next year. And for a lot of the people, by the way, that I just saw Seattle and Portland and Roanoke and Connecticut, I just want you to know the wonderful, wonderful events. I thank you for giving me the honor to do what I love with so many of you there. And that same love I want to extend to each one of you with this holiday season. Trust your loved ones. Open your door. Keep your heart open and know that they are near you. And know that they have only left their bodies, their essence, their spirits will continue to be connected to you. And this is Suzanne.